thought experiment. One of the most important modes of exploration in quantum physics is what are called thought experiments. These are laboratory experiments of the mind in which physicists explore the imagination so as to tease information out of nature. Thought experiments are experiments that are thought about rather than performed, although sometimes they can be performed too. In a thought experiment, no hands get dirty, but minds can become clarified. Einstein himself often used thought experiments as a way of attaining insight into the nature of things. Wheeler himself was considered to be a master of thought experiments, extrapolating them in the most extreme fashion imaginable. In a typical thought experiment, we take an accepted idea and extrapolate it to the ultimate extreme so as to see what happens. Does it break down? Where and why does it break down? What is it revealing to us? We all entertain thought experiments throughout our lives. Should I do this or do that? What will happen if I do this? Physicists use this mode of inquiry to deepen their understanding of the universe. The very fact that physics, which is generally seen to be all about the functioning and operations of the material world, seen as separate from the mind, conducts a large part of its experiments purely in the mind, and considers the results of these experiments to be credible contributions to the field of physics, is a clue to the mind-like nature of the physical world. The trust that physicists place in the value of thought experiments is an expression that the underlying order of thinking can faithfully reflect and congruently represent the order of the physical world. Thought experiments are expressions of the profundity and power of our imagination to help us find our place in the universe, and they indicate that the nature of the universe is more thought-like than is generally acknowledged. What is reflected in the magic mirror of physics can precipitate a Copernican shift in how we conceive of ourselves in relation to the universe. For example, imagine bathing in the sun's rays on a hot summer day. It is a scientifically accepted fact that the sun is out there, 93 million miles away from Earth. And yet, the rays of the sun are the sun's unmediated expression, which is to say that they are indivisible and not separate from the sun by one iota. This is analogous to how the waves of the ocean are not separate from the ocean, but are the unmediated manifestation of the ocean. This realization instantaneously helps us to change our perspective and understand that the sun isn't outside of us, but rather, as we are enveloped in its rays and awash in its life-giving warmth, we are inside of the sun. Not only do we find ourselves within the sun, we can further realize that we are not separate from the sun. This is to simultaneously realize that it makes just as much sense to think of the sun being inside of us, which is an expression of our identity expanding to even larger degrees. Continuing our thought experiment, we realize that we are not a separate entity from the sun momentarily sharing the same space. We are the sun. We are the light. In an instant, we go from thinking we are far away from the sun to feeling our oneness with it. Once we have this shift in perspective, we can no longer think of the sun in the same old way as an object outside of ourselves. Not just our image of the sun and our relationship to its image have changed, but our image and experience of ourselves relative to the universe have changed as well. In the physical world, nothing has actually changed except our mind's perspective. We have simply recognized something we didn't recognize before. After our shift in perspective, the age-old idea that we are composed of crystallized light, that we are stardust, makes more sense. Our essential being isn't simply made of light, it is light. The calcium in our bones and iron in our blood are literally forged in the stars. To quote Nobel laureate Ilya Prigozhin, matter is just a minor pollutant in the universe made of light. Interestingly, seeing and being in and of the light is a perennial Gnostic theme. The Nag Hammadi Gospel, according to Thomas, to use one of many examples, refers to a Gnostic, one who knows, as one who both sees and is in the light. The Gnostic Christ is described as the light which is in the light. A true Gnostic is considered to be a light to this world, one who sheds light on the darkness so as to dispel it. Astrophysicist Bernard Haich writes, "Our world of matter is like the visible foam atop a very deep ocean of light." Quantum physics reveals that it is a mistake in our thinking to imagine that two separate entities, such as the sun and ourselves, are interacting. The emphasis in the quantum world is on undivided wholeness. The two seemingly separate entities are in actuality inseparable parts of a more inclusive entity or field that includes and unites them both. This is similar to when we see a pattern in a carpet. It has no meaning to say that different parts of the pattern are separate objects in interaction. The seemingly separate parts of the pattern are merely abstracted from the deeper wholeness of the underlying carpet that connects them. Another example is to consider different views about space. If, for example, we view the skin as the boundary of ourselves, then there's the space within, the separate self, and the space without, which separates the separate selves. But when we see that space as a whole is the very ground of existence in which we are all contained, then space is recognized to not separate us, but unite us. Nothing has changed except our perspective. Seemingly separate objects in our world of everyday things are not truly separate. Their apparent independent existence is an abstraction with a certain utility. Speaking of this situation at a conference on quantum physics, the Dalai Lama said that the notion of reality tends to disappear, so we are in fact almost compelled to refer to objects as this so-called table or this so-called microphone. Another example, if there are two points on a line, we can think of the line as illustrating the relationship between the two separate points, or we can think of the line as being real and the points on the line merely abstractions from that. Similarly, in the quantum context, we can regard terms like experimental conditions, observer, and observed object as aspects of a single overall pattern that are in effect abstracted or pointed out by our mode of description. Thus, in quantum physics, to quote Bohm, to think of an observing instrument interacting with a separately existent observed particle has no meaning. In a quantum universe, the observer is the observed. Both observer and the observed are manifestations of the same underlying indivisible process. They flow into and out of each other like a river flows through its whirlpools. The observer is not causing the observed any more than our inner state is causing a synchronistic event to occur in the outer environment. In a reciprocally co-arising, non-linear, and acausal feedback loop, the observer and the observed are in a sense inter-causing each other, in my language, dreaming each other up, while at the same time being caused by the underlying movement of the whole in which they are both contained and of which they are both expressions. Every aspect of the undivided process of being causes every other aspect in a seamless and ceaseless non-local dance of omnidirectional causality that, taken as a whole, is acausal. The seeming distinction between the observer and the observed is a convenient abstraction on the level of relative as composed to absolute reality that has a certain practical utility, but ultimately has no reality. In the realm of the quantum, there are no separate or separable parts. The universe is an indivisible whole. A true singularity, the quantum universe is singular. Another example, it is easy to think of a tree as a part of nature. The tree, however, is not a part, but is coextensive with the whole universe. In its interchange with the environment, it is impossible to say at just what point a molecule of carbon dioxide or oxygen crossing the cell membrane into or out of a leaf stops/starts being air and becomes/is no longer the tree. The same question can be asked in reverse about humans. The tree, with its roots, trunk, branches, and leaves, threads out into the whole environment. It is part of and an expression of a larger ecosystem, which itself is interconnected with and inseparable from the whole universe. Where is the boundary between the tree and the rest of the universe that is supposedly separate from the tree? If this fact is ignored and forests are cut down with only a view toward short-term profits in mind, dangerous consequences can arise, which will affect the whole ecology of the land and spirit. The viewpoint of quantum physics is an expression of the universe as a whole system, as if the universe is one indivisible unit, a singularity.